Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Jesus said early on in his ministry, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean, suffer little children? What was Jesus saying? The word suffer has various connotations. The word as used here is not implying suffering or hardship, but quite the opposite. Jesus was saying, allow or permit the little children to come unto me, because Jesus Christ is a wonderful solace to their souls, just as he is a comforter to all the souls of them that come unto him. The King James Bible uses many elegant expressions that may appear archaic to our common everyday vernacular, but understand this. As a civilization becomes depraved, so does its language. America doesn't need new versions of the Bible, but a return to holiness and restored literacy. So, Indiana, as you awake from your beds this beautiful morning that the Lord has made, rejoice in it and know you have a glorious comforter to bring peace and rest to your soul in the midst of this volatile world. But the question is, who in reality is that comforter, since Jesus is not physically present in the world today, but sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel according to John, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has not left the world comfortless, but has brought us abundant hope and peace if only we put our trust in him and in his words. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead, and he will confirm all that Jesus said is of absolute truth. He brings the Bible to life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is determined by one principle alone, the total loss of self. Selflessness is the source of all virtue in man. In the same way, selfishness is the source of all sin in man. Whatsoever is done out of oneself will be burned up at the day of judgment. What is done out of obedience to the will of God remains. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not ask how good your work is. He will only ask who does the work, his spirit or your flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. These are not my words, but the words of the Holy Ghost. Take heed that no man deceive you, and hear what the Spirit saith." May this sermon series, The Messenger, bring you hope and comfort this day. Again, remember, each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week, to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. Have a happy and blessed Thanksgiving with your family and friends. The Messenger, Part 16.
Look over to 2 Timothy. Here's a little more explanation of being a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So, if Paul has to make that statement, what's the alternative to that statement? That those who name the name of Christ could have iniquity in their lives. What's iniquity? Pull out the dictionary. Sin. Things that don't please God, that are against the law of God. It says then in verse 20, "But in a great house," speaking of the house of God, not the church building, speaking about all believers. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Okay? Just gold and silver speak of treasured gold. Treasure. Something that's valuable. Something that's desirable, gold and silver. "But some is also wood and of earth." Means they're not that valuable. "And some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these," means the iniquity, these things, iniquity, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," there's that word, "sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." God can only use you as a vessel if you are clean, if you purge yourself. It says meet, suitable for the master's use. Suitable for the master's use. The Lord can only use you if you're clean, if you have a clean life. You purge yourself of the iniquity, and that's the whole sanctification process, purging yourselves. Allowing the Holy Spirit to say, Greg, get this out of your life. Greg, get this out of your life. Get this part of you out, get this out of your life. Incorporate this habit in your life. Reading the Bible on a daily basis. Praying on a daily basis, Greg. And stop watching all that television, Greg. You know, it's the Holy Spirit is saying, leading you and guiding you to get yourself to be an honorable vessel for the master's use, the Lord's use. So going back to Thessalonians, we discussed that about being a vessel. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence. I mean, I got to pull out my dictionary again? Concupiscence, that's got to be a made-up word. Means lust, unlawful or irregular desire of sexual pleasure. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. So we're not to take vengeance. God is the avenger, even among our own brethren. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. See, he's talking to the church in Macedonia. Paul obeyed, he went to Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. So these verses from 1 to 12 are the prerequisite for the pre-tribulation rapture, which comes right after verse 12, and we're not going to go into that. And that's the important thing, is to be a vessel of honor. It is blatantly obvious that the following passage is addressed to believers in the church regarding their conduct in the world, their relationship to one another. It is a matter of striving to attain this goal. Our walk is at stake here in 1 Thessalonians. We read that. When Jesus answered the Samaritan woman's question about where was the proper place to worship God, he said unto her, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such as worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know what? God could care very little about you singing or not singing to the songs that we sang this morning. And God could care very little about you attending or not attending here this morning. Though it's out of obedience that you come to church. That's obedience to God. But what he's more critical is, what's going on in your temple and my temple? In your vessel and my vessel. What's going on? What's taking place? Is it a vessel of honor or is it a vessel of dishonor? And so We worship him in spirit and in truth. When we exercise the truth that we learn from the Word of God, exercise the spirit that we learn from the Holy Spirit, that's how we worship him. When we act like he did, act like the Apostle Paul in the world around us. Believers are to worship God in the temple of their bodies, sanctifying it in holiness. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Sanctify yourselves, therefore. Be ye holy. Okay, this is a work you're going to have to do. Okay, Christ did the work on the cross and shed his blood. You got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Now you got to allow the Holy Spirit to do the sanctifying and confessing sin and asking, you know, putting the sin under the blood of Christ. And he says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you, says in Leviticus chapter 20. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Last week we read Ezekiel. Do you remember reading Ezekiel? And we saw how the Holy Spirit in the book of Ezekiel moved out of the temple, went to the Holy of Holies, came to the threshing floor, to the threshold, to the entrance of the temple. And then he moved up and the Holy Spirit was above the temple. And then the Spirit moved to an adjacent mountain, and the temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar because of all, and we go through the book of Ezekiel. God just shows him vision after vision after vision of the defilement of the temple, all the wicked things that were going on in the temple secretly, in secret chambers in the temple. Whew. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Every moment of the day, the Holy Spirit's living with you, knows our thoughts, knows our actions, and all that gets recorded in heaven. That's scary, isn't it? You know, part of praying too, you'll be praying for one thing and the Holy Spirit is groaning to God for something else in your life. God knows more what you, the Holy Spirit knows more what you need than you do yourself when you're praying in your life. And the Holy Spirit groans and we groan knowing how miserable we are as human beings in God's eyes. And we need him to cleanse us constantly. If the Holy Spirit was working, I told you this not last week, but a few weeks ago. I read you a quote in Germany that there was a great revival. I told you about a Baptist preacher named Unken, who was a, first he started out as a Reform, Lutheran, he grew up in a Lutheran church. Then he went to England, went to a Reformed church, Anglican church. I think he came back to Germany under the Reformed church. He got ordained and he started, you know, just kept reading his Bible, had a great love for the Lord, discovered that believers' baptism, infant baptism was wrong, believers' baptism was proper, waited four or five years until an American Baptist came and baptized him, and then he was able to baptize his congregation, and he planted churches, Baptist churches in Russia, in Denmark, Belgium, other non-English-speaking countries of Europe. He came to America, and I told you Ellery's roots are from the German Baptists. And he planted German Baptists and churches all over America. a lot of the churches in northern Indiana. There's Baptist churches in northern Indiana. They're German Baptists. Ellery knows a lot about the German Baptists from his mother's side of the family. If the Spirit of God was moving miraculously, what did I tell you happened? The Pentecostals came in. They called them the Spiritists at that time. And they came in with all their phony baloney, spiritual speaking in tongues, their circus, and the pushback by the other churches was not to teach anything about the Holy Spirit at all. Just teach about the justification of Christ and teach nothing about sanctification and the work of the Holy Spirit. And the churches, the power of the church died out. If the church was vocal and active, you wouldn't have had World War I and World War II. You wouldn't have had that taking place in Europe. But the church lost their power. And if there's nothing else we gather from this message, I hope you gather a lot, but we need power. We need to be able to speak out against Black Lives Matter radicalism. Because I'm for black lives, I'm for white lives, I'm for Asian lives, I'm for babies in the womb's lives. I'm for all the lives that Black Lives Matter radical groups aren't looking at in Chicago that are getting murdered day in and day out, and nobody says a word. The violence in all parts of the ethnicities of our country. And, we don't hear too much about what goes on in Chinatown, but they kill themselves, the gangs within in Chinatown. Kill amongst themselves. The up in Brooklyn, the Bronx, the Irish Catholics, the gangs up there, the guys would throw one another off the roofs, have big fights, gang wars up on the roofs of these apartment buildings, and throw one gang member off or another gang member. So just the violence, we need the Holy Spirit moving across our land and the gang violence and the drug problem in our country. But we need to speak out. We need to speak truth, speak the word of God, speak peace. We need to advocate peace with one another. Brother Andy knows what's going on, but any conservative black man or black woman is castigated. They just say they have been sold out to the white side, and they just look down upon them. And so we have to be outspoken. We have to be, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit to convey the message, the gospel. We've talked about it in our Bible study in the midst of one another. The problems we have with family members just conveying the gospel to. The loved ones, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. And getting that message out. So we're going to end it there. Let me end with this thought. And this is called an apostolic benediction. It's out of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 is how 2 Corinthians ends. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Amen? Amen. Again, I'll say it again. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. They call that the apostolic benediction in 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Let me read you two stanzas from a song or a poem written by A.B. Simpson. I told you about him last week. I believe he's the one who started the Missionary Alliance Church. In this song, And he wrote a lot about the Holy Spirit. The poem is called Upward Calling. A voice is calling me. A hand has grasped me by cords unseen. My soul is upward drawn. My heart has answered to that upward calling. I clasp the hand that lifts and leads me on. And in my heart, I hear the Spirit's whisper, the bridegroom cometh, hasten to prepare. And with my vessels filled and lamps all burning, I'm going to meet him in the air. Amen. Beautiful words. A lot of his poems were put to hymns, and there's a hymnal by the Missionary Alliance Church, and a lot of the hymns in there are based upon his writings, his poems that were written to song. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray that for each person here, Lord, the Holy Spirit would speak to them and draw them near to thee. And Lord, help us to understand in the hour in which we live, we're not to be more like the world, but we're to be more like you. And Lord, that will make us a different vessel to that of the world. And we will be odd. We will be considered odd in society today. And Lord, I just pray that we can endure the oddness, the strangeness of it all, to be more like Christ, and to love one another, to love those who are lost, and to witness to them, and to be bold, to have faith, to stand up for our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and convey the message of Christ. And Lord, we pray that we will endure the persecution that may come upon the church in the near future. We want to exalt you, Lord. I pray for each person here. Help them in their temple. And Lord, help them to sanctify their temple. Help them to make it holy and honorable. And Lord, teach them through the Holy Spirit what to extract out of their temple and what to put back in their temple. The good things, the honorable things to put back in their temple. And Lord, fill us with your word, your knowledge, your truth, your understanding, and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.